Let me just say, Peter, thank you so much for sharing the scriptures. I am going to be in Luke chapter 2. If you'd like to have your Bibles open there, you can feel free to get that. Today's message title here is The Gospel of Great Joy. And I'm going to try to keep my comments brief because I'm fully aware that a lot of you guys are excited about seeing the kids, probably me, not so much. So I'm going to do my very best to keep it moving, and yet at the same time, I mean, I just can barely let an opportunity around this time of year pass, because what a beautiful time of year to know the Lord, and what a beautiful time to celebrate Him and all that He's done. We're going to talk about today the Gospel of Great Joy from Luke chapter 2. And we've been kind of focusing on the idea of behold. That's been our theme and our kind of our key word. And here in Luke chapter 2, there's only three times that the word is shared with us and mentioned. And the two that are kind of at the end are happening a little later, but the one that we're going to mention and really hone in on and focus on is the one that Peter shared with us just a minute ago, where the angel who was speaking to the shepherd said, "Do not be afraid, for what? Behold, I bring good news of great joy for all the people." So John Piper had said this, and this is why I'm speaking on and kind of focusing in on the idea of behold. The holiness that comes from beholding the Lord, the glory of the Lord, does not happen instantaneously. From one degree of glory to the next, we move towards the image of Christ. He goes on, and in another part of that particular quote, he says, if you want to figure out how to look more and more like God and live more and more of a holy life, look at Jesus. Just keep looking at Him and keep imitating what you see. He says there at the end, he says, focus your attention on the glory of God. And there's a reason for this. And would you guys just read this last line with me? Would you read it? 1, 2, 3. You become what you behold. And that is so important for us, and it's important that we basically go a little deeper. The idea here is, in a world where everything is visual, we've learned that there are different kinds of learning. There are some that are tactile learners. There are some that are auditory learners. You know, tactile meaning you touch it, you do it, you experience it, you listen to it. There are some that learn in those ways. But almost all of us, especially evolving in our modern world, we visually see something and it changes our view, our perspective, and our thoughts. And so there's a huge implication of the truth of we become what we behold, because if we never truly behold something having to do with God and His glory, something that has to do with those things that bring us happiness, joy, contentment, and into the presence of the Father, then the problem for us is that we will struggle in our sanctification. Now, the idea and the concept of sanctification means that we are gradually becoming more and more and more like Christ. That it is a building block system where you build one on top of the other. Now, I want to be very clear. We're not saved piece by piece by piece. We are saved by the grace of Christ, and it happens instantaneously. But we do not overnight become people who are fully displaying the character of Christ and the example of Christ, because it takes time. And this is something that God does in us first, but then He leaves for us to do and to pursue for ourselves as well. And so this is why it's so important for us to grasp that if we never behold God, if we never truly look at Him and see what He is doing and all of those things that He is trying to change in our lives, then we will never truly look like Him. We will never find the victory that He desires for us to find in our lives. And it's incredibly important for us to grasp that those things that we are constantly beholding eventually find their way into our hearts and change us for the better, or what? For the worse as well. And so we got to be very careful that what we behold brings us into being the person that you would want us to be and that God would have us to be. Eric, I'm looking at you still in here. Was I supposed to dismiss the teenagers? Okay, I'm dismissing the teenagers. Teenagers, you're dismissed. You got off really easy. You got like half of the sermon here concept. But go ahead and be with Eric. Y'all go on back to the back. Thank you for being here and being a part up to this point. Teenagers, go ahead. But I shared this with you over the last 3 weeks, this week as well. If you're constantly looking at other people's marriages, you might think that yours is not worth keeping. If you're constantly looking at other people's lives, their highlight reel compared to your reality, you might think to yourself, what is my life really all about anyway? I mean, why should I be satisfied with this life that I have? If you are looking constantly at other people, that are different than you, and you're listening to what other people say about other people that are different than you, then you begin to think as you behold. Now, I could go really deep on that and make half of y'all mad. Actually, I could make all of y'all mad, but I'm not going to do that either way. But it's important because ultimately, we view other people in the way that we behold them. Do we behold them as God's children, or we just behold them constantly as different and other, and somebody who's different than us, and so we're not really looking at them as a person, but just simply as an enemy? Can I get an amen on that? Isn't that true, amen? Y'all don't like it in our world, do you? This is part of why our world is so divided. This is part of why our world is so divided, and we're so frustrated with it. We're living in it and living in the backwash of it constantly, and this is part of the reason. So what we behold matters deeply for us. And this is why John Piper said, he said, go to this passage of Scripture and notice that it is changing us bit by bit. And this is the one to remember. This Scripture, if you're interested in kind of following along the idea of learning and putting back a passage of Scripture as a Scripture memory verse, this is one that you can remember. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of God, seeing God's glory and being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, to another, to another. For all of this comes from the Lord who is Spirit, from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Okay, so real quickly, this passage of Scripture in Luke chapter 2 is rooted in reality. This is not a once upon a time. This is not a once upon a time in a galaxy far, far away or anything like that. This is from Luke chapter 2, and he says, in the days when a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered or taxed, and he says there, this was the first registration when Quirinus was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. That's why Joseph and Mary left Nazareth, where they were from, betrothed and yet not yet sleeping together, not having another child in any way. This virgin birth that the Lord tells us about, predicted by Isaiah, is coming about. And they travel about 90 miles from Nazareth down to Bethlehem so that he can be born there to fulfill the scriptures that say that he will be of the house and the line of David, and he will be that man that comes to fulfill all that God has promised. So let's keep moving here in something to learn. According to Timothy Keller, in a great book called Hidden Christmas, he says, the Greek word translated gospel means good news. In Luke chapter 2, verse 10, the angel says to the shepherd, I bring you good news of great joy. Or, I bring you the gospel of great joy. You could say it in that way. Also, Keller clarifies that the name Jesus in Greek is that same name as Yeshua or Joshua in Hebrew. It means the Lord saves. So Jesus' birth announcement and his very name shows his nature and the entire purpose for him coming in the first place. It all has to do with your salvation and mine. And so it's important that we grasp that. Now, something else to learn. I'm going to keep moving here. I tell you what, actually. Tell you what, Colin, notice that passage or that one right there. We'll come back to that in just a second if you don't mind. You know what? I'll do it right now. I'll do it right now. The way that the shepherds would know that baby Jesus was twofold, they would find a baby not in a nursery, but in a stable's manger or a feeding trough. We've got a fake one here. You guys with me? You'll see it right here. This is it right here. It reminds you that this is where they got hay. Now, ladies, let me talk to you for just a second. I don't know about you, ladies, but you can probably identify with my wife. There were a lot of things that I did when we had our kids, when my wife is like, oh, no, you're not doing that. You are not doing that. Like, I would go to put on something, and she's like, no, don't do that. I'm like, why? She's like, it's totally dirty and got tons of germs. Your baby doesn't need all those germs in its life. Ladies, can I get an amen? Your husbands have done that plenty of times, right? Amen? Oh, you're sitting next to him, so you're not going to throw him under the bus. But my wife was like, what did you do? I one time put the outfit that my oldest daughter had on, I put it on her backwards, thought I had done a great thing. I was a good father, I had good intentions, but I also messed up a lot, all right? But can you imagine for a moment, the only place that they had to lay Jesus down was in a place where animals had been feeding. That was all that he had to do. I mean, that's all that he could do. Either they held the baby or they laid him in a feeding trough. And so it was a rough place. It was a difficult thing to see Jesus in this setting. It was not good. And yet Mary was willing to go through it all. and he would be wrapped in cloths. And I just want to notice this here. They would take strips of cloth, probably because at that time they didn't have all those different blankets, but I'm claustrophobic. Is there anybody in here who's claustrophobic? Anybody? A handful of y'all? Does it bug y'all to see the way that they do babies? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Wrapping them up like they're a burrito from Chipotle, amen? You know what I'm talking about? I mean, they're just like tucking it in. I'm like, can you not do that? It's driving me crazy, right? As a person who never wants to have anything hold me too tight, you know? But they would take the baby and they would wrap him in small linen strips and cloths, and then they would put him in a manger. And as the angel would declare this to be what where they would find the baby, they said, you're going to find a baby laying in a feeding trough and then having strips of cloth wrapped around it. And so this is so important. It's a detail of Christ's birth that would have held very special meaning for those shepherds as God declared it. Because back then, what they would do is the most expensive lamb that you could raise as a shepherd was one that would be a sacrificial lamb. You guys with me? Y'all with me? So a sacrificial lamb was one without spot or blemish. But you know how lambs do, just like kids do, just like men do. Like we're going to go out and get dirty, get messy, mess up things, you know, probably bruise ourselves, mess ourselves up a little bit. That's how that goes. And so they would take a lamb and they would take the claws and they would wrap up this lamb and they would say, no, we're going to protect this lamb so we will be ready to be a sacrificial lamb. Brings the most for a shepherd, but can you see the symbolism? You're going to find a baby wrapped in cloths, just like you as a shepherd wrap your lambs, brand new lambs, in cloths so that they might be perfect, whole, complete, and without blemish, and eventually given as a sacrifice for God to forgive the sins of mankind. If y'all are with me, give me an amen. Amen. Isn't that a beautiful picture? And so he's speaking their language. He is speaking their language. How many of y'all, you were today years old when you realized this was the truth? You never heard that before, any of y'all? Okay, if that's brand new news to you, can you imagine how that would feel if you were a shepherd and you heard him say, the angel says, you're going to find a baby and you're going to find it in strips of cloth wrapped up and lying in a manger. They would go, he's talking about stuff that we do. He's talking about stuff that we're familiar with. And why would that matter? Why does that matter? I want to just share with you more of this passage of Scripture so we can grasp what he's doing. Here, the big idea is that the more that we behold God's love for us, the more our fears fade away. And I'm just going to have you guys say that with me in just a moment, but I'll ask you to join in just a moment. But that word behold means to look at, to notice, to grasp, to understand, and to perceive. It's all of these things. It's something that is in the Scripture text to make sure that we don't just rush by and miss something that God is saying that has a deeper meaning if we just slow down just a tiny bit. So the more that we behold God's love for us, the more our fears fade away. Would you guys share that with me on the count of three? Ready? One, two, three. The more we behold God's love for us, the more our fears fade away. Now let's talk a little bit about learning from Luke's two beholds. The first one is what I was just sharing with you from that something else to learn. This is good news of great joy that will be for all the people. This is not for the people who are in the rich man's house. This is not for the people who are in the king's palace. This is not for the educated, the beautiful, and nobody else. This is not only for the intelligent. This is not only for those who are sharper and smarter than everybody else. This is not just for the high achievers. All of these things that Jesus is declaring, he has come so that all of us, no matter who we are, where we've been, or what we've done, might know that it is good news of great joy. It is the gospel of great joy for you and me to understand. He didn't come for you because of what you've done. He came for you and I because of what he wanted to do for us that we could not do for ourselves. These are very incredibly ordinary men that have been invited and announced to them specifically that Christ has been born. And don't miss this. God's announcement in the stars was seen by the wise men, but he sent angels to invite the shepherds. In other words, he invited the shepherds specifically to come. The wise men had to figure it out for themselves. And in the process, God was clear. His son's birth was good news for all people. But he went out of his way to honor those considered outsiders, those who likely felt distanced from God because of the actions of the more educated and privileged ruling elite, the people that were later to known as the scribes and the Pharisees. He was showing, I want you to be a part of this incredibly special day. And by the way, I'll throw you a little Easter egg in there. You'll see this baby, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. He will be wrapped in cloths just like you guys do it. And he will be lying in a manger just like y'all are all so familiar with. If y'all are with me, give me an amen. Amen? All right. Y'all are good. Y'all are good. I've told y'all 100 times, you know, if I don't get a good amen, I go back. Y'all gave me a good one, I'm going to keep moving. All right, here we go. God's son's birth came to take away the fear of God that all mankind naturally has. God came near in the most approachable way imaginable, as a baby. In other words, let me just share it and break it down in this way. Do you remember back in the Garden of Eden? When God knew that Adam and Eve had sinned, and every day before then, he would walk through the garden and he would hear them and say, guys, come on over. Let's talk, let's chat, let's have conversation, let's have fellowship together. But this particular day, as he's walking through the garden, what happens? Adam and Eve have eaten the apple, and they've abandoned their place that God gave for them to be. And they leave, and they go, and they hide. Because they are sinful. They suddenly realize that they are sinful. And the Bible tells us that they said, you know, God says to them, hey, where are you? We're over here, and we're hiding. And he says, why are you hiding? He says, I'm hiding because I don't have any clothes on. I'm naked. And God says, who told you that you're naked? Here's the problem. For most of us, we don't fully grasp that there is something in us, that sin nature that is within us, that distances us from God. And so when the shepherds are said to be startled at the angel's appearance, it's not just simply because they're like, oh, it's a jump scare, you know, oh, somebody jumped into the heavens and this bright light and this loud noise. It's not just that. They are fearful and terrified, the Bible says, because we distance ourselves from the God that we know that we have distanced ourselves from. You know what I'm saying? You understand what I mean? In other words, we distance ourselves from the God that we know can forgive us because we know that we have done something against his forgiveness. And can I tell you something? For many of you, you have heard me say this over and over and over again, but most of the time, the church meeting that you want to go to the least is the one that you need the most. Because what you and I do is whenever we are hurting, and we know that we have offended God's goodness, that we have sinned against him, we begin to distance ourselves not just from God, but also from his people, from his word, from his fellowship. And when that all happens, we understand, you know what? I'm distancing myself from God, not just with what I've done, but the actions that have followed what I've done. And so here, this is incredibly important, that God's son's birth came to take away that fear of God, that they would not be afraid of him, but literally, how many of y'all have ever sat in the presence of a child and gone, I'm scared to death? I used to, because I was scared to death to hold the baby. I was scared I was going to, you know, drop the child or something like that when I was younger. That's what I was scared of. But I was never in fear. And so God is sharing with us, don't be afraid of me. I am coming so that everything that you need might be given to you and you might be forgiven from start to finish, beginning to end. And it all will begin with a baby being born. You have nothing to fear. Behold, I bring you the gospel of joy, which will be for all people. For unto you is born this day. Not the throne has been taken, but unto you is born this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you that you will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes in strips of linen and laid in a manger. And then it says, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. In other words, there was just a singular angel. And then suddenly, after he has made his declaration, the sky rolls back and hundreds, if not thousands, of angels come and sing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And it is a beautiful thing. And all of this incredible pageantry is maybe for 10 or 12 dudes just out on the side watching sheep. I mean, it is God's creativity and his joy overflowing into the world, not because of the people that will receive it, but because of the people, all of the people that need to receive it. Amen? And so as we see here, God tells us what's going on. These are the things that we learn. Don't miss this. The shepherds went back to their work after they had gone and seen. They had gone and seen the baby. And then it says they went back to their work as changed men. But they also went back as heralds or announcing that the child had changed their lives. When we truly get a glimpse of God's goodness, grasp all that he has done for us, despite all we are and all we are not, then we become changed people. We are pushed to do what he would have us to do. We're not paralyzed where we are without him. And so it's incredibly important that we understand, as we look at these shepherds, they're pushing towards seeing the baby instead of paralyzed out in the fields. Can you imagine what a disappointment it would be to hear that incredible angelic announcement, to see all of the light show that was going on, and then them go, "Wow, that's amazing. That's incredible. But, you know, we've got a lot of work to do. So let's just stay here on the side of this mountain and not go anywhere, because after all, we wouldn't want to let our sheep get away." How many of y'all know that would be a tragedy? That would be an absolute crazy thing to see happen. Well, what happens? They have seen God for who he is. They have truly grasped what his announcement is all about. They have been invited to come and be a part of it. And in the midst of it, they cannot say no. They are pushed to go and see what God is doing and revealing to them rather than paralyzed to stay where they are. I could go on, and I won't, because I just simply don't have time. But let me tell you something. If you were paralyzed in your spiritual life, then I would just kind of simply say to you, maybe look a little closer at what you're beholding. Make sure that you're looking a little deeper and seeing God as he truly is, and then watch and see if it doesn't push you forward rather than paralyze you. I just want to share with you, you can maybe see this, the fear is kind of the edge here, and then back behind that fear, as you tear it away, you can see that fear has kept us from seeing what is actually on the other side so many times. I can't imagine these shepherds not going and seeing Christ and his birth, but there were people that did not go and see what was going on. Now let's share this with you as I bring this to a close. "And those shepherds went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told to them." Now, I want you to just take a look at this passage of scripture as it ends. All of this is about the shepherds. They went and they saw, they were amazed, the incredible things that they, you know, witnessed, and then they went back telling people, other people were rejoicing, and all of these things are all going on. But right there in the very center of this group of four verses, in verse 19, "But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart." If you will allow me to say it this way, Mary made sure that she was beholding the right thing. She was making sure that she was looking at the important things in her heart, not just simply letting them happen and moving on in her life. From the book Hidden Christmas, I just want to share this with you. The angel has an astonishing message for the shepherds. You won't have to be afraid anymore if you look at or behold what I am showing you. The fear that inhibits the deep place of our souls can be dispelled for good. How? The angels say, fear not, but what? Behold. And then he goes on and says, this is the principle. Behold, and you won't be afraid. If you take time to comprehend, that is, behold what is in the gospel message, it removes the fear that has dominated and darkened your life. To the degree you truly behold, gaze at, grasp, relish, internalize, and rejoice in the gospel, to that degree, the fears of your life will be undermined. Let me just share some big questions as we bring this to a close. Do I honor who and what God honors? The things that you honor in your life by giving it time, attention, focus, by putting it up on the list of the things that you say would matter most to you. Do you honor what and who God honors? And question also is, are you growing into a person that's less and less controlled by your fears? If you truly grasp what God has done for us, then fear begins to dissipate and go away. Perfect love casts out what? Fear. And so as we look at your life, do you see you living in a more courageous way? Are you becoming more of a person controlled by fears or freed from fears? It's an incredibly important question. And then the third one is what do I behold most? And that thing that I behold the most, is it actually of God or is it something that's pulling me away from God? Here's how you apply this message. Begin to move out of your comfort zone in your life, small steps at first, but begin to live a life that is less and less controlled by fear of failure, fear of rejection, fear of the things that you have done in your past coming back to haunt you. All of those things can be won over by the things that God has done. And then secondly, make changes to what you behold consistently and make sure that it honors Christ. As we close this message down, I want to just share a video with you, and I just want to let you know that the kids are going to be coming in just a moment. They're going to be kind of finding their spots and that kind of thing. But I would encourage you, I'm going to turn it up a little bit to make sure that you can still hear the video itself, because at the very end of this video, there's some really great messages that I think will touch you and maybe make this message come to light just a little bit more. So in the darkness, as the kids are coming in, please don't miss the video that I think will be a blessing to you. Let's check it out.
It was a night like any other night, except for that angel. Ain't seen nothing like it before or since. Us shepherds, we don't get a lot of excitement out there in the pasture, but that angel, it was so bright, so beautiful. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Sam, you've been out in that pasture just a little bit too long. And you'd be correct. But that all changed when that angel came right up to us. And the angel said, don't be afraid. I was like, too late. And then the angel said, no, I wrote it down. I need to get this right. Hold on. Okay. The angel said, that's my grocery list. Then the angel said, I have good news of a great joy that shall be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And then the angel said, he's lying in a manger, wrapped in cloth. Go find him. Okie dokie. So we're all sitting around, and then one of the shepherds, I think it was Steve, he's like, hey, what are we doing? Let's get out of here. Let's go to Bethlehem. So we hightailed it out of there, and we found that beautiful baby. I'll tell you, I was a different man after that. God chose me. And nobody's ever chosen me for anything. I'll never forget what that angel said, though. The angel said, I bring good news to all people. That means you too.